Hello, you're listening to Elune's Grace, a World of Warcraft podcast. Welcome to Elune's Grace podcast. This is episode number 4. I am LA, your host, along with Sal. How's it going, Sal?
Good, how are you?
Excellent.
Hey, congrats on dinging 65 on your priest the other day.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that was awesome. I have to say, I'm going to be posting that. I did pretty good over the weekend, actually. I think I hit 64 Saturday and then Sunday. Actually, Monday night, then, I hit 65. So I'm still rested. I think I've got all of 65 is still rested except maybe one bar. So that's awesome.
Yeah, that the rusted XP, I swear, it's the only way to go.
Oh, yeah. And how's your hunter doing?
He's been hanging out because I've been working on my druid, and I got her to 53. I actually got her from about level 48 or 49 to 53, all on rested XP, because I did so many quest turn-ins, and so, that doesn't eat up against your rested XP.
Right.
So Sal's been hanging out in Shattrath while Raven's been running all over Azeroth, and now that her rested XP is pretty much used up, I'll switch back to him to build her back up again. It seems like it makes leveling go, even if it's just psychological, it just feels like it goes so much faster.
Yeah, it does, because you get double the experience, right, when you're rested, so.
Is that how that works?
So yes, it is. It's in your head. Okay, well, what's going on in the news? You're telling me about some trailer?
Yeah, well, there's not a whole ton of news out there, but there is now a Hellfire Citadel gameplay trailer, and I'll just read the little description of it. On the blasted world of Outland, within the heart of Hellfire Peninsula, stands Hellfire Citadel, a nearly impenetrable bastion that served as the Horde's base of operations throughout the First and Second Wars. For years, this gargantuan fortress was thought in, until the recent discovery that marauding bands of Fellorcs have made Hellfire Citadel their home. Dun dun dun. Though the origins of this particularly savage breed present something of a mystery, what's more disconcerting is that the numbers of these spell orcs seem to be growing. So, and Hellfire is, of course, one of the very first instances that you'll run when you head through the portal.
Oh, yeah, Hellfire Ramparts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, actually, you know what's great about that is, that's totally infested with all orcs. Mm-hmm. And, like, big demon dog type things. But it's nice and short. I mean, you get three boss encounters, and the final boss is really kind of cool. Kind of reminds me of the end game stuff pre-expansion pack, and it's challenging, and I just love that you can get it done within an hour.
Yeah, and you can get it done within an hour, and it's not because they're easy.
Oh, I mean, right.
It's just that they're short. I mean, you don't have to fight through 130 mobs, to get to a boss.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, I think the idea that you can spend an hour and a half or an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on your group makeup, and run an instance is great, because it opens up instance running to a whole lot of people that maybe weren't able to do it because of the time commitment. And now, you could even potentially run more than one instance a night.
Yeah. I mean, when we were in different end game raiding guilds, Sal and I, and the one I was in was a little bit more, I guess you could say, hardcore, because they wanted you to be there four times a week and everything. But yeah, I mean, just when we were progressing through Blackwing Lair, for crying out loud, it would take an hour just to figure out how to get past two mobs before we got to a boss.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boss fight itself with the wiping, if you take that into account.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one night after they did a patch on Nefarian, who's the last boss in Blackwing Lair, we literally tried to defeat him, tried different strategies for over 3 hours, and we didn't do it that night. And then I didn't play the next night, and they were successful, so I wonder what that says.
It's an amazing coincidence, I'm sure.
I'm sure. I mean, it must be.
It just reminds me, too, before you and I kind of split into different guilds, and when we were in one of our original guilds together, and we were just running Luber's.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, a 4-hour run.
Yeah, that was, Luber's is way too long.
Yeah, and then, and even Uber's would be 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not very well geared and, you know, you're going in. And it's funny because Sal joined kind of a reunion of our old guild. A bunch of people from our old guild all got together to run some upper 50s through UBRS. And Sal was 64 and there was, you know, a couple other mid-60s. And we didn't even talk strategy. We just zerged that entire place and made it to Drek. And, you know, I had, you know, made it to Drek in about 45 minutes. I was starting to kite Drek. And, of course, you know, normally when you kite him, you got to run around that whole freaking beast room and hope to heck you don't die.
Mm-hmm.
I was over the bridge and they had already burned down the other two mobs, so I was able to, you know, feign death and let him go back to the room. So it's a whole different experience running. It would actually be kind of fun to go back and to run some of those things. And one of the guys I was with on that run said that he was a level 70 and said that there were a bunch of him and some of his other level 70 friends they didn't have 40 people. I don't know how many they had, but they did a Nyxia in 11 minutes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I would love to do it, because I love Onyxia. I mean, I loved that fight, even though, you know, when our guild was just on and we would one-shot her.
More dots.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a 20-minute long fight to go through, maybe the 5 mobs before you get to her. But, yeah, I just really liked that fight, and just like I really liked Nefarian.
That would be actually a fun guild event, you know, if you're in your guild and you got a bunch of 70s, is figure out what the right number of 70s is to do in Nyxia, whether it be 10 or 15 or 20, and just have timed events of different makeups and see who can bring her down the quickest.
Yeah, yeah.
Or any of those old runs, you know, who can run Ubers the fastest, or who can do the 45-minute Baron run in 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and still, even when you defeated Drek, still the hunter piece never dropped.
I know.
The chest piece.
Can you believe that?
Sal has never gotten
the
her.
The only pieces I ever got for my Tier 0 hunter gear were the pieces you could buy off the auction house. And you actually bought me one for a birthday present. I am such a loser.
No, you're not. It's just bad luck.
Oh, man.
Just bad luck.
So anyways, I guess we got a little off topic there. But yep, there's a new Hellfire Citadel gameplay trailer if you want to check that out. And then the only other thing really on the page today is in the community spotlight. And that has to do with a new novel that's coming out. Do you want me to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
Bliss Planet has a new interview with Aaron Rosenberg, author of the upcoming novel World of Tides of Darkness. And this one covers the events that occurred during Warcraft 2. So you can head out to, there's a link to Bliss Planet where you can read the interview that the author of this book. And some of these books are really quite good. I've read a couple of the trilogies. One was outstanding. It's the War of the Ancients trilogy.
Is that the one you lent me?
Yes.
That I still haven't gotten
jumping
to.
Right on that, right?
I got to pick the other two books first.
And it has to do with, it talks about the Dragonflights and Illidan and Malfurion and the sundering of the Well of Eternity. And it's, and I'm not a big fantasy genre reader, but I couldn't put those books down. They were so good. And then there was another set of 3. One was called Day of the Dragon. And then there was one, Lord of the Clans, which was a novel all about Thrall. If you are an Alliance, you know, only kind of a player, if you read this novel, it would make you want to play an orc.
Really?
Just kind of the nobility and the mysticism and the heroism is really laid out, I think, very well in that book. And then the third one is called The Last Guardian, and that book has to do with the lore of Medivh, or Medivh.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, and so. Medivh was the one that was, his mother, Aegwynn, was one of the chosen defenders.
Guardians.
Guardians, and Ser Jerris possessed Medivh in her womb, right?
Yeah, yeah. So Medivh carries a part of Sargeras in him.
Yes. Ooh.
And he's befriended by a paladin, and it's a really interesting book, because it's kind of fun to read those books and you're like, oh, I was there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I was in Tears Fall Glades. I know where that is.
Well, yeah. I mean, it does kind of make you see the game a little bit differently. It kind of makes the story come to life more.
It really does.
It might sound hokey, but
no, it's fun.
I think it totally does. Yeah. Well, that's really cool. Well, one thing I wanted to mention was you'll notice out on the Warcraft website is that there's a link to Jinx, and they have some World of Warcraft apparel. And one of the things, I have purchased two shirts from them so far. The first one is a black T-shirt with the Hearthstone, and it says there's no place like home on the T-shirt, which I thought is cute. And then my other T-shirt, which I just love, on the back says, Wow, Addict. And then on the front, you can't read it because it's written backwards, but when you look in the mirror, it says, Don't forget to eat in real life.
Well, I think you got me one from there, too, that says, Home is where the hearth is.
That's it. Home is where the hearth is. That's the one. Yep, because I've got that, too. Well, I went and checked out the new stuff that they have, because they've got new gear, and they've got this really neat hooded sweatshirt. It says, plus 20 to frost resistance, and it has this really cool graphic on it. So, I don't know. I might have to get
it. It'd be perfect for us here in the upper Midwest.
Yes, where it's kind of cold.
Although today was sunny and 60 and beautiful day today.
Yeah, that's right. But we are still in March, which is our snowiest, our snowiest month. Anything else with the news?
That's all I had.
Kind of a slow week. Okay. Sal and I have a special guest tonight. His name is Carlandis. We call him Carl for short. He's an awesome paladin that we met in our first guild, and he's going to talk tonight about being a paladin and why you chose a paladin and stuff like that. Welcome, Carl, to Elune's Grace.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you two?
Oh, good.
Pretty good.
I took a nap earlier, so I'm doing much better.
Oh, naps are good.
Yeah, they are.
Nap for the win.
So, is this your first MMORPG, Carl?
Yes, it is.
And it's Sal's and mine as well. And what made you get into the game?
Actually, it sounds a lot like you and Sal from your first podcast. And I've been into fantasy for many years. When I was about 5th or 6th grade, I discovered my dad's copies of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
Ooh, that wasn't where I thought you were going with that.
For this show, that's the one I'm going to say I found my dad's copies of. And I spent a lot of time reading them, listening to Led Zeppelin and the Misty Mountain Hop, Pink Floyd Animals, and stuff like that. And then at that same time, I met a group of mostly guys, a couple of girls, who did the old pen and paper D&D, starting way back with the first basic set and then the first AD&D. And we did that for a while. And so I always just sort of had an interest in it. And when the different computer games for Dungeons & Dragons came out, I played those and played Neverwinter Nights.
Oh.
And then I always thought about EverQuest, never really got into it, never tried it. Then this came out about the same time as Guild Wars and EverQuest 2, and everybody said the World of Warcraft was the best of them. So my nephew bought a copy and let me borrow his free 10-day or whatever it was subscription, and that was all it took.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is so smart that Blizzard does that, because that's what I did with Sal. It's like, here, take this. You got 10 days. You don't have to come over and take my computer.
Well, it's like what drug dealers do, right? The first hit is free.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, in this case, it's more than just the first hit.
More addictive than cocaine and crack.
Oh, man.
Well, that's really cool.
What was the character level max on that?
On crack?
No. On the free trial run. It was like 20 or something.
Oh, I don't know. I never maxed it out. You know, after I got to level 2, I'm like, yep, I'm done. This is it. Sign me up.
I maxed it out like within the first 4 or 5 days.
Oh, sure.
Oh, wow.
And decided it was time to go out and buy a full version.
Awesome. And how long have you been playing the game? I think it's a lot longer than Sal and I.
I've been playing since, what, September of 2005. So about a year and a half.
Okay. So I think we're probably about 5 months after you. When did it actually come out? I mean, because, you know,
it
I hear...
Not about 2 years ago?
I think so.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I guess I just don't remember the specific date or anything, so... So out of all the possible classes, and the fact that you chose to go human, why was that?
Well, actually, my nephew and I, we started playing, and we first decided to go Night Elf.
Okay.
Because he wanted to do a hunter, and we really, at that point, weren't interested in doing dwarves. So I did a warrior, and that was going along okay, but he got kind of bored with his hunter, Sal.
What? What? Clearly, he doesn't know how to play the class.
And he decided that he wanted to do a mage, and so that led us to trying humans. And I didn't want to do just another warrior, and they didn't have my favorite class in playing the D&D games, and Neverwinter Nights was always a ranger.
Mm.
And that really was not an option for a human, and wow.
And what what is a ranger? How is that different from a hunter?
It's a lot like a hunter, but then, of course, there are no human hunters.
Okay,
and I was looking at playing humans.
Okay. Sure.
So that's a good question, though. I think they're probably a lot alike.
Okay.
That led my choices to, you know, be the different human choices, and among those was Paladin. And I figured it'd be nice to have some healing abilities.
Yeah.
So I gave it a shot.
Cool.
And so Carl was born.
Well, the other thing was that even though we're not on a role-playing server, because we didn't have TeamSpeak or Vent or anything like that, and most things are being typed, we actually wound up doing a bit of role-playing when we would type things, and with the first few people we wound up running into to group with.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, the idea of being honorable and getting the powers of good, the powers of the light, to be a paladin and stuff, that made it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, that's great. I've never tried the role-playing servers before. I think it'd be really a lot of fun, but kind of challenging, too.
I think it'd be something you'd have to really be into.
Yeah.
That, particularly once you got onto the TeamSpeak and Vent-type environment.
Yeah, if the expectation is for you to speak, I think it would be hard enough to type in character, but if you actually had to speak it as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be really challenging. I think it would be kind of fun, though. I mean, I've never tried technically role-playing. However, I do have this whole backstory that I've built around Sal and kind of in my mind why he'll go, where he'll go, and do what he'll do. And I mean, there are certain areas of the world that he barely ever steps foot in, and it's all kind of linked to this little story I have in my head around him.
Well, and that's like a lot of the role-playing that we were doing at first. The comments that we'd make and the things we would do were things that I was the somewhat gruff and serious paladin, and then Huntress was the go-lucky, reckless mage.
No.
Who would get us in trouble and not have to pull us out of it and things like that. We had a standing joke talking about him getting, about when we would get on a ship and him getting up to steer and getting us lost.
And Huntress is, of course, one of the other. We have kind of this group of, we've got 6 to 8 people that we all met. When did we meet? Maybe about a year or so ago in game, and we've kind of gone to other guilds and come back, and Huntress is one of that core group.
Yeah.
That hopefully Ellie you'll rope him into talking to sometime.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure he'd love to.
I'd like to read a little bit from how the World of Warcraft describes the Paladin right from their website. The Paladin is a mix of a melee fighter and a secondary spellcaster. The Paladin is ideal for groups due to the Paladin's healing, blessings, and other abilities. Paladins can have one active aura per Paladin on each party member and use specific blessings for specific players. Paladins are pretty hard to kill thanks to their assortment of defensive abilities. The paladin can also heal with holy light, unlike other combat classes. The paladin is an undead specific fighter as well, with several abilities designed to be used against the undead. So do you have like a favorite spell or way to play your paladin? I mean, are you specced a certain way?
Well, you know, when I was first looking for a guide and searching the forums and such about how to spec, there was a hybrid spec. And I don't find a lot of people that are really doing that, but all along I've had a lot of success doing that. Now, most of my points are in holy,
okay,
but then I have enough in, I think it's retribution. No, excuse me, it's in protection, just to get Blessing of King. I've got about 11 points in there, which is just enough to add to my armor and shield a little bit, add to my protective aura, which benefits the whole group, and then gives me the Blessing of Kings. Then the rest, close to 20 points now, are all in retribution. And that allows me to do some additional damage and have a little bit more fun than if I were just standing back and healing.
Okay, so is retribution more of a offensive type of thing, so it's easier for soloing?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of people that PvP with paladin will not have a lot of points into holy.
Mm-hmm.
And will have most into retribution and a significant amount into protection.
Oh, okay.
But I try to spread it out, and I'm actually playing around with that a little bit more, and that's because with most of the groups that I've been involved, I'm both an off-tank and an off-healer.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that description said, for the most part, I'll start off fighting in melee, and then once I need to do, for some reason or another, need to start healing, I can back off and start healing, or I can throw out a few heals and then resume fighting, things like that.
Cool.
And that's actually one of the things that's really enjoyable about being a paladin. And there's been occasional times when I was able to do something like bubble, you know, put up my defensive spell shield, heal somebody else to keep them up for a while, heal myself, and then even after they went down, if there was just one boss or one mob that was left, go ahead and knock that person down. And then, of course, once I got my mana up, I could resurrect the group and we didn't wipe. And that's always feels good when something like that happens.
Now, do you use your mana only when you're doing spells, or some of your fighting things, does that soak up mana as well?
Well, the healing spells soak up mana.
Okay.
And the offensive spell do use some mana, and some more than others.
Okay.
In particular, Hammer of Wrath, which activates when the opponent has, I believe it's less than 20% of his hit points. I can throw that, and it will do anywhere from 600 to, if I get a nice crit, 1600 on it, which oftentimes, you know, we'll get those mobs that when their hit points get down real low, they start to run.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I can throw that, and that'll hit pretty hard. But that also takes a fair amount of mana. The heals, of course, do. The undead-specific offensive spells such as Exorcism and Consecration and a few others, they take a fair amount.
Hmm. And I guess I'll have to read up on the lore, but why would the paladins have more oomph against undead? Is it because of the whole Scourge thing? Or?
Well, it's because paladins get their power from the same source that the Draenei get their power, which is it's the holy light, the power of the holy light. It's not necessarily attuned to any specific god,
okay,
but it's a holy power with the idea of the undead, whatever their faction or group, being unholy.
Mm-hmm.
Is, I believe, why we have those specific powers.
Hmm. That makes sense.
So do you find that your role as a paladin has changed since the expansion pack has come out?
Well, the time that my role as a paladin really made a lot of difference was before the expansion came out, and going through all the instances such as the two strats in Skola, and then prior to that, just the different quests throughout the Plaguelands and such. where at those higher levels we were fighting a lot of undead.
Oh.
That, you know, there was a lot more that I could do in those situations. The expansion, I've done a lot more healing than I had, but that hasn't been so bad because even though my heals are not nearly as strong as that of a priest or even a druid, I've been able to pick up some really good healing gear.
Okay.
Which adds a lot of bonuses to it.
Hmm. And one of the things, myself being a priest, when I was doing endgame stuff in Molten Core or Blackwing Lair, for certain fights we would rely on the paladins to do your big, I think it's your big heal. What is that called?
I believe that is Holy Light.
Okay, and then do you have like an instant heal type thing?
It's not an instant, but it's quicker, called Flash of Light.
Okay, I think it's that one, where the paladins would focus on the quicker heals, whereas the priests could just do the greater ones, which, depending on how you are spec'd, could be anywhere from 2 to 3 seconds cast. And it allowed, obviously, resting between each one so that you could regenerate mana during, you know, your 7 to 10 minute battle. So that was really cool.
And I had found in the couple of times that I was able to do some in the end game, and even now, there's been a few times that I've been the only healer, mm-hmm. or the main healer, in going through some 5-man instances. And if I've got all my healing gear on, then just by doing my Flash of Light, I can pretty much hit that regularly. And if I don't have to hit anything else, it barely uses any mana overall. That my regeneration will be about the same as my use.
Oh, that's awesome.
But as soon as I have to throw in some heavier heals, or if I have to start cleansing, I mean, that's one big value of paladins and raids, mm-hmm. is the ability to cleanse not only poisons and diseases, but also magic effects, all with the same spell. And it's, I guess, from what I've read, it's one of the better mana-efficient cleansing spells that there is, but still, if I start having to throw those on, and I have to throw on my stronger heal or something like that, then that'll start using up my mana, burning mm-hmm. it through.
And I love your DI ability.
That's a great ability that, as you well know, has saved a lot of walking from time to time.
Yeah.
For those that don't know what DI is, it's Divine Intervention. Paladin casts it. Then the paladin sacrifices his or her life to save another party member. Obviously, you want to do a party member who can res people, because what happens is if it looks like everything's about to wipe, the paladin dies and creates a bubble around another selected party member, and that will last up to 3 minutes. The party member cannot take any damage. They can bandage, things like that, and also wipes all aggro. They can't even do anything offensively to draw new aggro unless they get rid of the effect.
And it lasts paladin like 3 minutes, doesn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So the paladin can cast DI on a priest, and then the priest can have plenty of time to recover mana, let people run away, let all the mobs go, and then it's plenty of time to start resting the whole group.
Yeah. And plus, what's really nice, too, is it saves on your repair bill because you didn't die.
Well, the priest didn't. Well,
yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Squishy. Or actually, I probably didn't die either, because I probably feigned death at some point midway through
the battle. I was just going to say that. If the hunter feigns and the priest is DI'd and the other people just plain die.
Oh, crap, this is going south. I'm feigning death.
And 5 minutes later, then there's a wipe. Well, that's great. And what are the I'm looking at the website here, and the allowable races to be a paladin are human, dwarf, blood elf, and Draenei.
Can Draenei be paladin?
Yep.
Yeah, see, that surprised me too, but yeah, it says it right here on the sheet here on the website. Huh.
I actually thought that because they could be shamans, they could not be paladins.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, it's weird that they can be both, but...
Because I don't think a blood elf Can a blood elf be a shaman or a shaman? And I still think it's a mistake that blood elves can't be warriors. I mean, how do you have How do you have a race of people that has no warriors? That makes no sense.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
those wacky horde.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're alliance here. Yeah. We're not biased at all. And what can paladins wear? Any type of armor?
Yes.
When can you wear plate?
I want to say at level 40.
Okay.
Might be 20, but I think it's 40.
I think it must be, because I think that's when warriors can do it.
And that's and I know that's when hunters can wear mail. Switch to mail at level 40.
Are you happy that you had to do questing and things to get your mount and epic mount, or would you have preferred to farm and purchase it?
Well, I can tell you, from considering what I'm going to need to do to get the epic mount for my warrior and the money I'm going to need to save up and actually save it up, I'm happy that I was able to do it in steps for my paladin.
Okay.
Of course, the quest for my first level was something like walk across the chapel and talk to this guy. I mean, the first...
Ooh.
It was not very difficult at all.
Oh my gosh. That's so simple.
Yeah, it was kind of disappointing, actually.
I'd probably get lost.
But for the epic, that was a lot of fun. And it was nice because you had to save up gold to buy this and do that, pay this person to make your barding, and then as you accumulated these different items, then you had to go on different quests to either, well, to get the mats for the items, or once they were collected, to enhance them, and the quests were all over the place. It was great. I mean, one was in, where's Dire Maul?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that was interesting.
Where's Dire Maul's in Dire Maul?
Yeah, exactly. I realized Dire Maul's in Dire Maul.
Now, where's Dire Maul?
In Feralus. Oh. Alice, however you say it.
But I remember having gone through there a few times in the western portion and seeing this ghost horse by one of the mini bosses that you down. And wondering what it was, and then when I read the quest description, I realized that was the ghost horse I had to take my barding to have it be enhanced or blessed or something like that. And then, of course, once everything was done, going for the fight with the bone boss, and I guess that was in Skola, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, because that's like a different... Like three different waves of mobs that come at you, and you have to survive it. And didn't you have to do certain blessings on them too, or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
It took some of the things that normally did not have an area of effect, and made it just for that one fight, so that they would. And you needed to know exactly what you were doing, or everything didn't work the way, of course, that the guide said they should, and sometimes you had to jump from one to the other, even though you thought you were supposed to be on the one.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun.
That was, and we got a nice screenshot of that I'll post on the blog, with all of us kneeling in front of the horse. You're standing by it, but I think that's so cool. So how do you feel about not being able to quest for your new, for a flying mount? I mean, were you disappointed?
I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
I mean, it could be a hard quest. You know, when I added up the amount of gold that I had to spend for different, or the amount of time that I had to take to do the different quests, I think the amount of gold that I actually spent was only a couple hundred gold pieces short of what other characters other than the Morlocks would have to do. So, I mean, it wasn't really a big break. The biggest thing was that it was in pieces, so that once you got the piece, once you completed the step, you didn't have to save that money somewhere and not be tempted to spend it on either some gear or an enhancement or something.
Yeah. Which is now you know why I don't spend money.
That's a whole nother issue.
Oh my gosh.
You know.
We need a whole podcast on Ellie being frugal and Sal getting lost. Of course, if we do a Sal Getting Lost podcast, we will have to invite Aurelia, because she is my partner in getting lost.
Well, in talking about people getting lost, without saying the name of the other player, Ellie and I were in an instance the other night, and there's this one player that was not releasing. And the comment was that I think he would follow you sometime.
Yes.
Or it was Aurelia. He would follow Aurelia or you to find his way back from the graveyard to Undead Strat.
Yeah. And me being the most patient person, just love doing that. One of the things I wanted to mention, too, is that if you really like to be a solo player, being a paladin and getting your 60 epic mount, you can't do it solo. I mean, the last step, you do need a full party to do the bone guy. So that's one good thing for the non-warlock or paladin class, is if you prefer to earn everything on your own, well, then you certainly can. You don't need to recruit people to help you out.
But it also, I think, makes it that much rewarding that you have a group of people that's willing to come help you out.
Oh, I agree.
And accomplish that.
Yeah, because that's really... I mean, I had the opportunity before going with you, Carl, to help someone. They had been working on it all day, and they said, "We're here. This is our fifth and final try. Will you just come?" And I'm like, sure, and I'd never done it before, and they were able to get it, and it was just, I didn't know the people, and I just thought it was really, really cool to say, you know, because then when you see them later in game, it's like, hey, I had a part in you, in what you're writing right now. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and like it, with our friend Rajnuk, the warlock, helping him complete his quest for his mount.
Yeah, that was a fun one, too. Yeah, that was a real good one. Well, great. Well, thank you, Carl, for joining us and teaching us all about paladins. Do you have any suggestions for people who are thinking, you know, the best way to level up a paladin now that they have 70 levels to go instead?
Well, you know, there's a lot of really good guides right there on the WoW forums. Mm-hmm. And another one that I relied on a lot was at 10 Ton Hammer.
Hmm.
They do a whole lot of other game things besides WoW, but they've got a whole section on WoW, and they've got a very good paladin guide. So I'd suggest that people look at that along with the guides that are right there on the forum.
Excellent. And that's 10 Ton Hammer?
TENTONHAMMER.com.
Okay. And I will post that link on the blog, ElunesGracePodcast.blogspot.com. You know, I made it long on purpose because I knew it'd be really easy to remember.
There you go.
Well, thank you.
It works for me.
Yeah. Thank you again, Carl. It was awesome talking with you tonight, and we will definitely see you in game. And by the way, I dinged 65 last night. Woot!
Yeah, I saw that. Congrats.
Yeehaw, yeehaw. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Carl, and we'll probably call on you again maybe to talk about what it's like to be a leather worker, because I know Sal used to do that as well, and I think it'd be neat to get into some profession talk.
Well, you're welcome. I'd be happy to.
So, Quest Spotlight, we're going to be talking about a quest called Gaining Mirren's Trust. And you pick this quest up from an NPC who is in a little, he's a dwarf in a little camp that is way west of Honor Hold, actually almost at the border between Honor Hold and Zangarmarsh. There are two prerequisites for this quest. One is you need to be friendly with Honor Hold, and the second is one Netherguard bidder from Burnie at Netherguard Keep.
Which is in the Blasted Lands.
Yes.
Yep.
So you ride up to Mirren, and you click on him, and he'll he'll go into this little diatribe about gaining trust, and he lost somebody close to him, and now he's on edge. And in order to prove your loyalty, you have to bring him a mug of Netherguard bitter. And if you've already achieved friendly with Honor Hold, and you happen to have the Netherguard bitter on you, you can just read through the quest, click on him again, and he'll give you the next step. If you're missing one of those two pieces, you either need to head back to the Blasted Lands and get your Netherguard bitter, or you need to head back to Honor Hold and do a little bit more questing there to up your faction.
Yeah, and it takes a little bit to find him in Netherguard Keep, but keep searching because he's there. It took me forever to find the guy.
I can never find anybody in those keeps.
Oh, I know, because it's like the different levels, and it's so hard to...
Well, they're all laid out exactly the same, but yep. I still get lost in them. That's a whole nother podcast, is my inability to find anything anywhere, ever. As you well know. So step two of the quest is called The Finest Down. And Mirren Longbeard in Hellfire Peninsula wants you to bring him 8 Kaleri feathers from the various Kaleri found in the Den of Halash. And what he'll tell you is the Arakoa at the Den of Halash south of here breed a magnificent species of bird called Kaleri. Their feathers would fetch a bundle at the trading post back in Azeroth. Just think of all the ale we could buy then. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, I think this little dwarf has only one thing on his mind.
Yeah.
Tell you what, bring me a stack of feathers and I'll give you my very own hat. What do you say? You'll never find a hat like this one. So you accept the quest and head south, and it's kind of like down in a little valley, and there's these little bird-looking mobs that are the Arakoa, as well as birds flying around, and the birds are just kind of flying around on their own, and then also on the ground and scattered throughout the camp are little mounds that if you mouse over, you'll get your gear, and it'll be a Kaleri nest. And so you can click on that, open the nest, and out pop at least two or three birds. So this quest probably is soloable, but if you don't have a good, reliable crowd control method, you may want to bring a friend, just because you will get two or three level, 62, 63 birds on you at one time.
Well, and plus it's kind of crowded in there. So like the bird people, what are they called? The Arakoa?
Uh-huh.
They're a step a little bit back or forward or whatever, and you might aggro them. So mm-hmm. You have 3 birds and a bird man on you.
That's enough to drive you a batty.
Yep. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a bird joke, and I came up dry. Anyway, so you're going to get your feathers, run back to Mirren, and turn it in. And he's going to give you his hat.
Ooh, a used hat. I always wanted.
But it's a very special hat.
Oh?
Why do you ask?
Oh, yes. Why is it so special, Sal?
It's a cloth hat with plus 18 to intellect, which actually is a pretty nice, that's a pretty nice int buff right there. To use the hat, you can reach into it for a drink.
Mm.
When you equip the hat, it restores 5 mana per 5 seconds, and it also increases damage and healing done by magical spells and effects by up to 35. And if you do use it to have a nice refreshing beverage, there is a 1-hour cooldown. Now, I got this hat, and I immediately vendored it because it was cloth. And
it sold for over a gold.
Right, and I was, trying to rebuild my money supply. Yep. But I think you actually use it. Or did.
Yes, I did until last night. I got a better helmet, but yes, it's the red hat that I was wearing when I danged 64 and 65. And so I'll post that out on the blog, and you'll be able to see what it looks like. But yeah, so last night when you told me about this quest, I didn't even think that I had it, so I realized I had it and put the hat in my action bar so that I could use the item. And Ellie has never really drank in the game before. So she drinks this, and it's a very potent alcoholic beverage. So the screen went all fuzzy, and I know there's a way to stop that effect in your video options. I just don't remember. how to do it. So for like at least five minutes, I was not running straight or walking straight, and the screen was moving, and it kind of made me sick. So I'm like, oh my gosh, please let this be over. Because at the time I was trying to fight wolves or whatever and get their tails in Terracore Forest. So it was quite interesting, to say the least.
So I wonder if your character has a very potent alcoholic beverage and the player has a very potent alcoholic beverage, if you counter-affect each other, so you cancel each other out then.
I'm thinking no.
We might need to try that.
But it's just like, I don't know, you know, if you remember doing ZG.
Mm-hmm.
There was, when you fight the spiders, they shoot poison at you that makes your screen go all weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the point where you really can't see very well at all. And so that's when I learned how to do it. I just don't remember it anymore. But you can turn that effect off.
That's funny.
So, anyway.
So that is the quest for gaining Mirren's trust. So it's a nice, it's a fast quest. It's pretty easy. Good XP and a fun, kind of a different little reward.
So I was checking out the forums. You know, I gotta say one thing. I don't know if you look at them very regularly, Sal, but people are just mean on those things.
I don't. I look at the forums to try and find posts about things like talent builds or, you know, tips on how to handle a certain fight or that type of thing.
Yeah.
Other than that, I try to stay as far away from as possible.
Yeah. Well,
I got enough whining in my real life. I don't need to. I don't need to get into my game life.
Oh, no kidding. Well, I didn't do a whole lot of trolling because there's really not a lot worth mentioning because a lot of it is kind of crap. But I did find one from Sarek, who is a Blizzard employee. He's a blue post. And he has a post out there about hot fixes that have been going on
so far
in March. Some of these things, I don't know what they are. But being a miner, on my warrior, all thorium nodes will yield more ore each time. So that's awesome.
You know, and it's funny because I didn't read that until you sent me the notes, and I was farming on Sal yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Sal is, all he does is mine and pick flowers. And I noticed even the small thorium were yielding, sometimes those yield one, maybe two.
Right.
And I was getting 2 and 3.
Excellent.
So
that'll be nice because on my warrior right now, I'm trying to up my blacksmithing. And if I want to learn, I mean, I'm only at 270, so I'm a little bit behind, even though she's level 62. In order to learn new recipes like the Imperial stuff, I have to turn in 30 thorium bars just to learn the recipe, which will then, and that's just for one piece, and then that will require more thorium to actually make the piece, obviously. So, and I'm not buying it. I refuse to buy it. So there. Other things that have been fixed on the 8th of March corrected an issue where Sanath Lim in Azjara was missing or misplaced. The lurker below should now spawn properly after a wipe. Fixed a bug where some fishing areas were not providing fish.
Well, yeah, that would be a bug.
Yeah, that'd be kind of frustrating. To be fishing in the circle.
Fish.
Yeah, and not getting anything. And then on the 9th of March, Nightbane removed magical immunity from skeletons and reduced damage from breath attack in flight. So it's kind of neat to keep up on what's going on because, of course, the hot fixes, they do it while we're playing. It's not during the when they do stuff to the servers. It's just kind of neat to know the little small changes they're making.
Yep, I agree. I'd like to take a minute to send a friendly warning out to all of the players out there. There is a scam going on right now, and some of you may already be aware of this, but for those of you who are not, it's involving in-game email. And I know I got a couple of them. Ellie, I know you got some. Our friend Carlandis on his paladin, I believe, got one. And what it is a message that you will get in your in-game mail. and it will say a gift from the Argent Dawn, COD, which is cash on delivery, 200 gold. Do not, under any circumstances, accept this, because what you will find when you open the little gift is trash, and you're out 200 gold.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure if unknowingly, you know, you made this mistake, I'm sure that you could open a ticket to Blizzard and they might have some options for you in order to get your money back. But one thing to keep in mind is Blizzard never, ever sends anything COD.
Ever, ever, ever.
Ever. So if you open your mail and you see this, you know, gift from the Argent Dawn or gift from anybody, and you don't know who it is or what it is, don't accept it. Especially for 200 gold.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that's what was so dumb about this, is somebody what they're trying to do is just get as many unsuspecting people as they can, you know, for their 200 gold before they're shot down. But they would probably actually fly under the radar more effectively if they were only asking for 10 or 20 gold. Because that doesn't jump out at people as much as 200 gold does.
Yes.
You know, you see 200 gold and you're like, no way. What gift could anybody be possibly sending me for 200 gold within the game?
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
So beware. Don't open it. Run away. Note the name when you open your mail. Write down the name of whoever sent it to you, because it will obviously say from. And I would say open a ticket with them and report them right away. I know I did it.
Yep.
Ellie, I know you did it. And Carl, I know Carl did it, because I think all three of us got one, like when the three of us were questing one night.
Mm-hmm.
And we all opened tickets immediately.
Yeah,
so
how I do it is I learned this from World of Warcast, from Starman and Renata, that when you click on the red question mark, just go to open a ticket. They have a new search thing now, but just hit open a ticket and go to behavior or harassment. Click on that and then click on verbal harassment. So anytime, you know, even if you're in Ironforge or you're questing, like last night, I was questing Urukar Forest and I got a whisper about power leveling and gold selling.
Mm-hmm.
So right away I opened up the ticket. I said, this is the person's name. This is the website they quoted. This is the phone number they quoted. Thought you should know. And I got an automatic response saying, we will investigate this further. Thank you for bringing it to our attention, you know, maybe like an hour later. So it wasn't like other times where a game master will actually say, hey, do you have a minute to talk about your issue?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that Carl did get the GM actually to talk to him.
Oh.
It wasn't an automatic response like I got. So.
Yeah, and I actually logged out. I know if you stay on long enough, I think you'll get a person.
Yeah, and it takes, you know, an hour or two.
Right, yeah. Right. And I've
been on other servers. It's not ours.
Pay attention to me. It's all about me. Mm. Help me. Yeah, the only time I've only reported things a few times and had interaction with the game masters. And let me tell you, first of all, every interaction I've ever had has been nothing but positive. So kudos to them, because yeah. I'm sure they get beat up more often than not. But I got an email actually from in-game and also in real life letting me know that they had received my ticket and were investigating and taking, and they actually said taking action against the perpetrator, for lack of a better word.
Very interesting.
So, and someday when we have more time, I'll tell you about two of my other more interesting GM interactions.
I think I might know what one of them is.
Well, yes, of course. One of them was when I got the whisper and I'm frantically calling you on the phone. I don't know how to respond to a whisper.
This is when we were new.
I was very new.
Yes.
But that's a whole nother story for a whole nother time.
Yes.
Yay!
You know you're a noob when... I thought that the only way to get rested experience was typing /sleep on a bed and leaving him logged in.
Yay!
Yay!
wraps it up for another episode of Elune's Grace Podcast. That's episode number 4. I am Ellie, your host, and I want to thank you very much, Sal, for your time. And thank you, Carl, our special interview with the Paladin. It was awesome information, and I hope it helped you all to learn more about the Paladin and if maybe it's a class that you want to try out. If you do want to check out the Elune's Grace blog, go out to elunesgracepodcast.blogspot.com. That is all one word, E-L-U-N-E-S, Grace, podcast.blogspot.com. There'll be links into the notes there that we discussed on the show, as well as pictures. And if you want to get a hold of Sal or myself with any of your favorite quests or any of your noob moments that you remember or remember someone else doing, feel free to contact us at elunesgracepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.